Welcome to the Black Heels and Tractor Wheels podcast, where we are sharing stories from a range of women from around New Zealand.
For nearly a century, Rural Women New Zealand has been dedicated to strengthening and supporting women and children to become empowered members of their communities.
We hope that by hearing these stories from inspiring women all around the country, you'll feel inspired yourself.
We're your hosts, Emma Higgins and Claire Williamson, and would love for you to join and subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss our rural stories.
We like to just kind of take it right back to the start. So understanding a little bit about your journey. And obviously, we're part of Rural Women, and so we have a real penchant for all things rural. You're obviously in the thick of it, Meredith. So can you tell us, have you always lived in Taihape, or is this something that's just come to you later on in life?
Yeah, no, very strange. I have always lived in Taihape, and I was born in Taihape, which is even crazier. I grew up on my family's sheep and cattle station, just actually a couple of valleys away from where I now live with my husband. So we were quite remote there. We were a good 45-minute drive to Taihape. We had about the last 10 k's were a metal road, so it was very isolated. So we hardly went to town back in those days. So we led a pretty insular life, really. My brothers and I went to the local primary school, which Rangawai, which only ever had around 25 children at it, and it's sadly closed down now. There was only ever really me in my class level, so it was quite a lonely sort of a schooling. And my brothers went away to boarding school, and I was left for about 4 years on my own, so it was quite lonely without them. And I was very happy in saying that. I loved my home. It was paradise to me. We lived in my parents' house, which they built in the 60s, which looked out to Mount Ruapehu, so we had the most majestic view. And yeah, my dad carved this incredible garden out of the hillside, which became a very world-renowned garden. So it was paradise to me. I was a very lucky little girl.
And so how did you end up on the Ruanui Station where you are now? How did you move from being, more in that isolated area to just jumping over a couple of valleys? What happened in between?
Well, quite a lot went on in between, and I never thought I'd end up in Taihape. I thought it was pretty much the arse end of New Zealand. So I went away to boarding school, about an hour and a half away, and had a pretty amazing 5 years there, really. I grew into a completely different young lady. And then I went off to Massey University in Palmerston, did my Bachelor of Horticulture, and then I grew my wings and went off overseas for a couple of years, and Andrew sort of happened in between that period, and I came home and we married, and yeah, the rest is history, really.
Yeah, incredible. And just drilling into, I guess, some of those characteristics of your childhood, you mentioned that it was quite lonely and quite insular, but at the same time, and some people would consider those to be maybe negative connotations, but I think they've probably set you up for where you are now. So on reflection now, how would you class your childhood in terms of how it's really helped you to the position that you're at this point in time?
Well, I think it makes you probably incredibly independent, really, and very resilient to anything that you face along the way. It's a weird sort of a thing to compare. I've never really thought about it, actually. But I think rural living really sets you up to face any adversities in your life. I think you're just thrown so much along the way that combining that with boarding school, I think you can pretty much, you can face pretty much anything, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And so when COVID hit, that resilience, that independence, that determination, I guess, kind of came to the fore.
Yeah, it was, COVID was almost a silver lining for us in retrospect, really. I think a lot of people found that. A lot of people wrote books. A lot of people set up businesses. They just, yeah, they, I think they sort of stripped right back to the bare necessities and almost found themselves again, which was pretty amazing. I mean, we really loved lockdown. We had all our kids home, plus a partner, and we had 7 incredible weeks. We absolutely loved it. We've never spent so much time with our children ever, because they come and go all the time. So we really loved it. And of course, life did stop outside the farm. So there was no toing and froing in the car like I was so used to. There were no meetings. There was just nothing to go to. So all of a sudden, I had a lot of time on my hands, and we'd been thinking about doing something with our wool for so long. It was a now or never situation. All of a sudden, I had time to actually look into it. So it was really incredible.
So tell us a little bit about how you'd had that idea and then how you actually actioned that idea, because it sounds like you'd obviously been kind of been germinating that little seed of an idea for a while.
Yes, well, as everybody knows, the wool prices have been so grim for so long. Andrew and I had been talking about it for many years. We've just got to do something. This is just so depressing and so ridiculous. We can't keep going the way we had been. Obviously, our markets had just all dropped away when COVID hit. China shut up shop completely, so our lamb's wool was just left high and dry, and that's our good wool, not let alone our used wool. So yeah, we got to March 2020, and I was able to just do a little bit of research, and we looked at a whole lot of things actually, but my heart was always in blankets. I just think it's such an iconic Kiwi thing. We all grew up with blankets on our beds, the scratchy kind. So, yeah, we found our wool spinner in Wellington, Andy May at Wool Yarns, and he sort of set me on the right track, really. He was really helpful, introduced me to Tracy March in Auckland, who runs Interweave. And, yeah, by the time lockdown had finished, we were pretty much on our way, really, and we had blankets in our hands by November that year. We launched November 2020, so it happened really quickly. We were really lucky.
Tell me about that journey to find that first contact. Was that someone that you already had an existing network with, or did you actively have to go out there and search for them?
Yeah, I just literally Googled and I found a whole list of people, and I just found Andy May's phone number, and I rang him cold turkey. So yeah, it was a little bit daunting, to be honest. I had no idea the process to even make a blanket, where to start, how much wool we needed. I had no idea. We were very naive. So yeah, it was the power of Google in the end. And yeah, how could we live without Google in this day and age?
Incredible. Mm. That is so incredible. I love that. If you don't know, you just Google the answer.
Yeah, and just Google.
Yeah. Go forth. That is great. So can you tell us a little bit, I guess, about the supply chain first up, of how do you actually, what does the process look like from your sheep or your lambs on the farm to the blanket that we've bought here in Nelson?
So our lambs and ewes are all shorn early January, which is about a 2-week job. It's pretty huge. And then our wool is trucked over to Hawke's Bay, where it's scoured, where it's cleaned, and the vegetable matter gets cleaned out, which we don't usually have much of at that time of the year. And then it's sent down to Wool Yarns in Lower Hutt, where it's spun into a specific type of yarn that needs to be spun for just weaving. So like a knitting yarn, for instance, is a completely different yarn. So I've learned all about that along the way as well. And then it's finally sent up to weave, where it's dyed and where it's woven. And that's a long process, that part of it. Anything to do with wool is not a very quick process, and it's not a cheap process either, if I'm completely honest.
That's really great insight to have. And so on that note, what have been some of the biggest challenges or barriers to getting your idea off the ground?
Probably getting the weaving done, to be honest, because there's only one commercial weaver left in the country. So we're completely reliant on them. So they're very, very busy. I mean, there's plenty of people like us making blankets as well as big commercial companies who put all their wool through Interweave as well. So that's probably the biggest difficulty, because we have to really pre-plan it all, and it's not an overnight process. We have to book loom space literally, and yeah, it all takes ages. I mean, people are ringing me up wanting blankets. It's like, I'm sorry, I just can't produce them overnight for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm curious about how there's only one weaver or one person who, or one organisation that does this. Is that a reflection of, you know, capital going offshore, or perhaps is it a reflection of what's happened to our lower flock numbers?
I think it's a reflection on our man-made fibres that have, you know, swamped us the last 10, 20 years, which is incredibly sad. People have turned away from wool completely, so there hasn't been the demand for it, obviously. And yes, it is more expensive to produce in New Zealand, so people send wool up to China to be spun, and that happens a lot. People have no idea that even happens. So that there may be things made in New Zealand, but that wool can be sometimes spun in China because it's cheaper to do that, which seems crazy, sending it all the way up there and then all the way back. So yeah, I think it's a combination of things really, and I think the biggest part is the demand for it, because people are just going for the cheap option really, which isn't wool. It's really sad.
It is really sad, and I know that there's a lot of different innovations out there that are looking at using wool as a product. And so to your mind, and I imagine that you're at the forefront of this kind of conversation, what do you think the industry looks like for wool over the next sort of 5 years? Do you think things are going to change?
Oh, I really hope so. And I think there has been a slight shift, really. I think people are much more aware of what they're bringing into their homes. They're really thinking about it a bit more carefully. I think when people put polyester carpet on their floors, they really had no idea that it was petroleum-based. They just don't even think about it. They just go for the cheaper option. So I think there has been a slight change, but we've got a heck of a long way to go, really. As you say, there's some really exciting innovations happening. I just received a package in the mail from New Zealand Merino today, actually, with a pile of shearing tally books for the season. And they included this amazing little whistle, shepherd's whistle, that has been produced by Shear Edge, which is the incredible Logan Williams that New Zealand Merino employ. And it's this plastic whistle, but it's actually made from strong wool, and 35% of it is strong wool. So it's really exciting to see things like that. So we really hope that people just pick things up and start running with it. I mean, people need to take a stand and actually stop the plastic and start looking at our natural fibres. It's just a no-brainer, I think. We're in this climate crisis, and people have got to walk the talk.
Yeah, absolutely. This is the time for the conscious consumer to be front and centre, and really mindful of where they, you know, spend their money, because that's what really directs and makes change happen, I think. So you're so right on that one. Do you have any, I guess, pearls of wisdom for someone who's looking to start their business?
Well, I think if you've got a great idea and you're really passionate about it and you really believe in yourself, I think just go for it and give it a crack. You've got nothing to lose, really. I always, this probably sounds a bit arrogant, but I always thought that our blankets would sell because I knew that they were going to be beautiful. And they have. People just love our blankets. So I think, you've just got to back yourself and put yourself inside your square and just go for it, really. I think so many people have great ideas, but they just don't have the courage to quite, you know, follow it through. So my bit would be just to go for it. You've got nothing to lose. I mean, there's nothing wrong with failing either.
That's such a good point. You know, if you roll the dice and you fail, it's actually, you've learned so much along the way that it can't almost be classified as a failure, right? Because there's so many nuggets out of all of that that's been really worthwhile. I'm interested in your husband, Andrew. What's his role in all of this, and what does he think? Is he part of it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he's a huge part of it, and he's probably my biggest champion. He was the one encouraging me to do it, really. He's been always a great yes man to me. Sometimes he says no, but mostly he says yes to me. So yeah, he loves it, and he's a big part of the whole process. He always goes to Auckland with me to meet it and to weave. And but between the two of us, we decide on the colours we're going to do and the patterns. And he's actually a really good sounding board, and he's quite good at choosing, I have to say, the colours. He's quite good at it. So yeah, it's great to do it as a couple. I think it's way more fun being with somebody else doing it rather than on your own. Yeah.
I imagine that must be really fulfilling, being in that position where you have, from an outsider looking in at least, you know, a beautiful family, you're really close, and now this is like the next part of your journey together as a couple. You know, being on the same page and nailing a new goal that is one that you've had such a key role in.
Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like I've really hit the jackpot. I've got such an incredible balance in my life now. Like for the last 25 years, it's all been about my children and Andrew and supporting him with the farm, and which I've loved, and I'd do it all over again. But now I'm actually doing something for myself, which is pretty major, really.
Yeah.
Because I think along the way, you sort of lose your identity as a person. You just become, you know, the kid's mum. So yeah, I feel like I've really nailed it, and I'm a very lucky lady, I have to say.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you've just gone through this big journey, and it's a really exciting one. Tell me about your children, though. I'm really interested there from, I guess, a succession perspective as well, because you've obviously got this farm that's been in your family now for three generations. You've got quite a few, well, you know, got four kids and this beautiful business too. How do they fit into, I guess, the business life and the farm life?
Well, they all love their home dearly. They all come back as often as what they can. So they're all pretty involved, really. We've got three daughters and still at school. So yeah, one of them will definitely farm for sure. They're all pretty keen, except I have to say for Olivia, she's our graphic designer, she's our eldest, and she's the one that's helped me so much with this business. I couldn't have done it without her. I mean, I'm just clueless when it comes to social media and all types of marketing. So she's been a godsend. So she's based up in Tauranga, so she's a huge asset to what we do. Often they'll have to help me with the blankets as well. Everybody has to pitch in now and then. So, yeah, who knows what will happen down the track, but we're open to anything because girls can do anything.
That is right. I love that. You're so right. Girls can do everything. Final question from our end is, you've achieved so much in such a short space of time. If you think about the length of your business, you know, lockdown was a couple of years ago now, and it's just gone from strength to strength. And I see that you've added the pet beds in as well, so that's a new product too. What do you think, or what is the, I guess, the goal for Meredith over the next 12 months, whether it's personally or within the business itself? What are you hoping to achieve?
Probably just carry on as we are. I don't want to get any bigger because I think that would just make the whole thing lose its attractiveness if it gets out of scale, if you know what I mean. So I'd like to probably streamline it a bit better. As I say, we've been caught short with no stock quite often, so I'd really like to get that system in place a bit better. Probably like somebody from the outside to have a little hard look at what we're doing, because we're just pretty much free riding. We have no idea what we're doing. We're just playing it by ear. So I'd probably quite like somebody to come in and just say, hey, how about doing this? Or hey, have you thought that you could do this? So yeah, I need to look into that. And probably personally, I'd like to spend some more time with my friends, because life just gets too busy and it's ridiculous. I think we really need to take stock of that. Sort of run away from that again. So that would be one of my big goals.
Friends are the best thing ever. Friends are the family that you choose for yourself. And I'm so often reminded of that when you're just sitting down and having a really nice glass of wine and just a great chat with your best mate. It's really something, isn't it? So thank you. Yes, thank you so much for your insights, Meredith, because you've been really open and honest about your journey in business. And we really, really appreciate that. I think the insights that you've given us are going to help so many other women out there. So thank you for your time. We really appreciate it. And we can't wait to see where the journey takes you next.
Rural Women New Zealand is a community of like-minded women who are doing amazing things in their respective regions and communities.
This podcast celebrates the achievements, successes, and stories of our rural women, which are also the foundations for our organisation's rich history.
We want you to be part of our future story, so please join us by clicking on the link in the show notes, and we look forward to welcoming you into the fold.